Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to our newest episode. I am thrilled you're here, and I am also thrilled to have Kathy Stoll here. Her company is Bliss Beyond Nap Time. She is a business coach for moms who coach. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thanks for having me, Jeannie. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you became a business coach for moms who coach. That's very specific.
It's very specific. It was also very organic. And I feel like, it's been about 15 years I started this journey. So I feel like it's really integrated this mission I embarked on. And we were living in the big city, and I met my husband, and on our second date, he asked me what my dreams are. And I said, I wanted to live in the country. I've always kind of been a country girl at heart. So a lot of our courtship involved us, we were really into rock climbing at the time, and we found this remote mountain community, fell in love, and immediately purchased land. And then the crux was, how are you going to move out there and earn a living? Because it was very remote. He was able to do his work out there, and I just was immersed into motherhood. My daughter was just a year old at the time. My kids are 4 years apart. And within that time frame, I was documenting us starting this hobby farm, implementing principles of permaculture, and also my crafty adventures. I was hyper crafty. And I think part of that resonated with my own upbringing. My mom was an avid seamstress growing up. I blogged readers. I started a blog, and they were asking me, like, how is it that you do all you do? Milking a cow every day and making all these crazy outfits for yourself and your kid. I just really sat with that. Some of the principles that I pass on to my business coaching clients still apply to how moms could put their creative pursuits, their own interests, so first priority. Sat with that. And then I started exploring other entrepreneurial ventures, such as teaching an online sewing course for moms. I knew I wanted to help moms because I was feeling isolated at the time. So it was a way for me to connect with moms all over the world. My customers of that online course showing me the outfits they made. I created the patterns and everything. And they had this look of just like this cute little beaming pride of what they accomplished, even though they had small children around. That was the premise of the course, how to sew even when you have rug rats running around. And that made me want to become a creativity coach so I can help moms overcome those resistance that often creatives have, such as perfectionism and procrastination and self-doubt and just kind of spinning in decision fatigue. I got certified as a creativity coach. I decided to also become a simplicity parenting coach because that was the answer to that question. How is it that you're doing all this stuff and looking like you're having fun and still feel like you enjoy motherhood? Lots of self-care and lots of creative play.
I love that. I have never heard of getting certified as a creativity coach.
Yes.
I might have to look into that just because
it was so fun.
I'll bet it was.
Yeah.
I have two kids in art school. So and it came from me. It did not come from my husband. He is not even good at stick figures. And simplicity parenting. I love that. So I'm guessing that by making it a simple task, if you will, parenting, it takes a lot of the pressure off, a lot of the onus, the less stuff you have to manage. Is that kind of the concept?
Exactly. Well, it starts off with the kids, right? The less stuff you put in front of your kids in terms of selection, you know, or they'll come down to the baseline of them at their cutest potential, right? So I know you have kids, but I have two kids, and just seeing each one at their peak cuteness, when everything's good, they're relaxed, they're in that, their element, but they also have that shadow side. When you put on layers of stressors, they have meltdowns that look quite different to each other. And it's very subtle. You can tell, like, you know, my daughter's 20 and already I can tell when she's feeling off. It's very subtle, but a mom could tell, right? So reading this book, I was like, all these principles can also be applied to mom as well. When I am relaxed and not in a rush and have strong routines put into place and rituals so that we could create these habits and customs in our home, things just flow more and I stay consistent. But as soon as I add too much onto my plate, too many decisions, many appointments in my day timer, then I start seeing myself when I'm not at my most photogenic. And in business, that looks like your bottom line gets stagnant. So how I apply this to working with my coaching clients is like, what is the baseline of how we can stay consistent with routines and rituals, predictability in your business, but also pepper it with ways to replenish your, I call it your bliss buckets, right? So you have time for self-care and you have time for doing what's fun. Because one of my favorite sayings is the funds follow the fun. So as long as we keep business light, but also impactful, and not too full, so you can stay connected with your family and your interests outside of business, then it's just going to organically grow each year.
I love that. Your bliss bucket. We need to keep our bliss bucket full.
You gotta keep it full.
Totally right. I had to do that one day, sit down and write. Sometimes in the evenings, mm-hmm. it was just sit in front of the TV. And then I was like, no, I like doing Legos. And I like playing with, I'm a little crafty as well. I like playing with molding clay and things. So I was like, I'm not going to sit in front of the TV. And it does, it fulfills you like you don't expect it to, because you forget how fun it is to be a kid and to just be creative. I'm guessing most of your clients are creatives?
Not necessarily. I like to say all my clients are moms. And I say all moms are creative because not only have we created a human being, but we also created a placenta. We also create dinners, or we create a life for our kids. We're always like showing them how to be resourceful, even though it might not feel like we do, but you know, like problem solving is a creative activity. Kids are older, 20 and 16 now, and every day I go to the grocery store these days, I'm grabbing like an Easter treat. So I have a collection because I'm creating a magical holiday come in that, keeping that magic alive. But in textbook, I wouldn't say they're necessarily creatives. A lot of them are actually shifting gears from a traditional job or career that they've been pursuing before they had kids. And this is a weird statistic, but I would say like 80% of them have 5-year-old boys. I don't know why. I have this theory that, I don't know why it's boys, but that's when their youngest or their child starts getting a little bit more independent. Okay, maybe they had to potty train them in order for them to go off to kindergarten. But now they're getting a little taste of their free time back. And they're deciding, what am I going to do next? Am I going to go back to my career? And I like to think that motherhood messes with your brain in a good way. It changes the chemistry. It's different. Your worldview is different. Your hopes and dreams have been rewired. So it's natural, I think, to start exploring what your options are. So they're kind of creative, maybe unknowingly.
I got it. So let's talk about a couple of your clients, how they came into your world and what kind of help they were looking for. And if you're still working with them, great. If you're not, you know, kind of what they needed to get them going.
I seem to attract a lot of professionals. So off the top of my head, one of my clients, she was actually a physician. And again, she had kids and she was really passionate now about supporting other moms who are physicians, contending with that decision. Am I going to go back to work? And she found a solution, which was to negotiate part-time work as a physician. So she felt really called to support other mother physicians, figure out how they can work part-time so they can still be involved in their young children's lives. So, and I think that you'll probably notice that to be true with your own clients. We're often called to work with people just a couple of steps behind us in our journey. And then similar but different, I had another client who was a engineer, which is interesting because my husband's an engineer. And I always like to say first engineer because I'm the total opposite of an engineer. But she was like, I want to become a coach for moms. She was very passionate about that. So again, it's almost like, who was I talking to? Oh, I was speaking to my daughter's coworker, and she was saying how she came out of university, like helping fish conservatory. And she was saying, yeah, I don't know what my future is going to look like, blah. And I'm like, well, that's the fun part. Like even with my own university degree in communication studies, you just take it one step at a time. You don't know where it's going to lead you to, and you can't even imagine. So I had this conversation with her about it. And so just taking that next step and using your gut to guide you of like how you want to help others. And then all these like really cool paths are going to open up. And I often see that happen with my clients.
I love that. Yeah. My son is just finishing his second year of university and art school, and he was having a crisis. So he didn't know, yeah, is this the right thing for me? And I'm like, you don't have to know what you want to do right now. And he's, but you know, we're spending money on this, and you know, I want to make sure it's the right path. And I'm like, you're going to learn skills that you can use in whatever direction you're going to go. So you have to trust your gut in some of those.
Oh my God. We've been having the same conversations with my 20-year-old daughter, same thing. She's going away for university. She's in her second year at the local college. She's doing a transfer thing. And she's so frugal. She does not like wasting money. Where did you get that from? But
our engineering dad.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. So let's say we have people listening and they're thinking, I'm a professional, had kids. Now I'm thinking, maybe I do want to kind of change directions. What would be one tip that you would give them to kind of get them started on that path?
For sure. Funny enough, when I started on my path, I actually hired a career coach, and it was the funnest investment ever. And that was one of the questions she asked me. It's like, what are people always asking you help on? And so I was very lucky at the time that I had my blog, so I could just check out my comments, also like my emails. And then it was very clear, oh, how am I able to do all this? And that's when I came up with those principles that I use now with in a business context. Yeah, just sit with, what are people always kind of coming to me with? Like, you know, what kind of problems do my friends actually reach out to me? And another little tip is to do a life biology, meaning look at your life from ages 0 to 7, and then from 7 to 14, 14 to 21, till adulthood. Like, you know, I work with moms, so I say right before you had kids, and then during kids, and then after, you know, and then just write down all of the major like milestones you've experienced, either struggles you've overcome or accomplishments that you have created, and big life events, trainings, interests, hobbies. So you may be thinking 0 to 7. I remember like my funnest thing to do was take me and my little brother out on picnics to this little nature area. And I got a lot of like big ahas from my childhood. Like, I was nature, nature, nature. And that resonates with that conversation with my husband. I want to live on a farm. And I'm like, what does that hint at? And for me, I think it's my own nervous system's need for simplicity. I can't deal with too much complication. Otherwise, I'm just frazzled and I am not that adorable human being that I can sometimes be, right? So look at all the little, you were talking about your molding of clay. If I deek behind the camera, you can see that's my jigsaw puzzle table. My favorite thing is to take all these jigsaw puzzle pieces, and I have my phone set up with my favorite TV shows while I do it, but that's my bliss. It's like seeing how all these puzzle pieces fit together and kind of like snap. And yeah, like we were saying, it's okay if you don't know right away how they fit together, but you just keep trying until something feels that really satisfying snip, you know, like pieces fitting together snug how they should. So that's a long-winded answer to one tip.
That was perfect. No, I love that. I love the analogy of a puzzle. And you're right. You got it. You love that snap. That's why you can't buy those cheap little puzzles, because they're too thin. They don't snap.
I am a puzzle snob. Yes. I saw them on Facebook. And I'm like, these are the fancy ones. So yeah, you're going to pay the big bucks for these ones. Yeah.
What do you create them on? Do you put them on like a pushpin board?
Oh. It's a drafting table I got from an old neighbor. So I'm able to stand, but also have like a little high chair for mama, like a stool. So that.
I love that. And I love that, you know, we all do need to remember to have some fun and just do simple things that we enjoy. But those are great suggestions for people. I never thought about that, to look back and, you know, what did you enjoy way back in the day? And what do people ask you or come to you for? I could have been a therapist, actually. In my old office, they used to always come and sit down and unload all of their problems for the day. And then I'd be like, okay. And then they leave. That was it.
There you go. You're a coach. So that goes hand in hand for sure.
Who would be your ideal client? So we talked a little bit about people who professional environments and then had children and then were thinking about doing something else. Is that the main people that you help?
I had two. That is one of them. Someone who's like, I want to support people a couple of steps behind me, but I don't know how to start. I actually have a coaching training / certification for moms who want to learn how to coach. It's called Mom Coach School. So if you're interested in that, just momcoachschool.com. It's a 3-month certification. So that moves you through first applying the simplicity, self-care, creativity principles first module, first month on yourself. And then month two, you get matched up with someone to practice coaching on, and you get introduced to the official coaching tools. And then month three, I show you how to get your first client. And then the other ideal client of mine is a mom who also happens to be a coach or other service provider, and maybe they're fresh out of a different certification or doing their biography. They have the skill sets, they got the trainings, they're ready to help others a couple steps behind them, or whatever they chose to be their niche. I help them just get all those puzzle pieces that make up a profitable online coaching business in place, and I offer one-on-one coaching for that.
I love that. That is awesome. So if people are saying, oh my gosh, Kathy is speaking my language, I need to talk to her, what is the best way for people to reach out to you?
Totally. My business is called Bliss Beyond Nap Time. So if you Google that, you'll find me. Google Kathy Stoll Coach, you'll find me. And you'll find this other random Kathy Stoll. I don't know why she keeps coming up. She's not a coach, but put coach there, you'll find me. And if you go to my website, I have a whole page full of freebies. So you'll get on my email list that way. And also you can check out ways to work with me, and we can hop on a discovery call and meet one-on-one, and I can tell you exactly how we can work together.
I love that. We'll put all those links in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
My last question, if you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
This is going to be short and sweet. Just smile at strangers in an authentic way, not just with your mouth, but with your eyes too. Just look at them and smile. It'll make someone's day.
I love that. I smile at dogs too.
Oh, well, that's a given. Like, yeah, I smile with this like weird squeaky voice that comes out of my mouth while I do so.
I love that. Well, Kathy, this has been wonderful getting to know you and learning more about what you do. I love that you're on a farm where you wanted to be. That you are helping people who are two steps behind you. I think it's fantastic and grateful for people like you to help others. So thank you for being my guest today.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks for having me. We're not at the farm anymore. I just want to clarify that.
Oh,
we moved.
Now I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I know, but we're still pretty close. So we're still in a tiny town. Just not the farm. Thanks for having me, Jeannie.
And that's okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.